The Exascale Computing Project is really about developing a software ecosystem for these next generation HPC resources. And so the software deployment area that I'm leading ultimately is going to take that ecosystem and make sure it lands successfully at the facilities. And to do that, we want to make sure that the software is tested and that it works and that it's efficient. And that's kind of our main mission.
The Exascale Computing Project, ECP, has a team that deploys and integrates an Exascale software stack. The team also implements a software integration and testing capability at the U.S. Department of Energy's High Performance Computing, HPC, facilities. The team supports continuous integration with site environments. That includes container technologies and software development kits. Containers package up computer code so that it can be moved from one computing environment to another and be used reliably. The software deployment team does its work in close partnership with ECP code teams, Energy Department HPC facilities, and vendors. A little over a year ago, we had the pleasure to speak with the software deployment team lead, Ryan Adamson of Oak Ridge National Laboratory. In this episode, he joins us again for an update on the project. Our topics: ensuring the Exascale ecosystem lands successfully at the facilities, the benefits of continuous integration to scientists, users, and systems management teams, providing a base layer of continuous integration smoke testing or confidence testing, and how continuous integration helps avoid the problem of stale software, and more. Exascale computing is the next leap forward in computing. It will provide the capability to tackle challenges in scientific discovery and national security at levels of complexity and performance that previously were out of reach. The U.S. Department of Energy's Exascale Computing Project is delivering a capable and sustainable exascale computing ecosystem to open new pathways of discovery and provide breakthrough solutions. I'm your host, Scott Gibson, and this is Let's Talk Exascale. Welcome back, Ryan. All right, well, I know ECP software deployment at the facilities project automates the building and testing of software for the ECP software ecosystem at various Department of Energy facilities. Let's start with a broad brushstroke of the activities involved in your work. When you and I last spoke on the podcast just over a year ago, you noted how your team collaborates with the ECP software technology research focus area, namely using SPAC and delivering containers for software applications. At that time, you said the effort was about to turn a corner in gaining project momentum. Will you bring us up to date on software deployment?
You used the word ecosystem in that question. I think that's the right place to start, because the Exascale Computing Project is really about developing a software ecosystem for these next generation HPC resources. And so the software deployment area that I'm leading ultimately is going to take that ecosystem and make sure it lands successfully at the facilities. And to do that, we want to make sure that the software is tested and that it works and that it's efficient. And that's kind of our main mission. The corner that we turned, in fact, is getting a common interface to take everything in that ecosystem, package it up using SPAC specifically, so that the facilities know what they need to test and when they need to test it, rather than having lots of individual projects, each with their own build and test sort of strategy. We're asking ECP to package everything up into this common framework so that it's easy for us at the facilities to test it and then get that information back to the developers.
Will you explain how continuous integration is a win for scientists, users, and system management teams?
Absolutely. And again, this goes back to that ecosystem. So we have scientific software users, right? We have developers, and then we have the folks at the facilities, the systems administrators and software installers, right? Who are really providing this whole stack. So the win for the facility software folks and systems administrators is that, I guess in the past, facilities have installed a brand new software stack maybe once every 6 months or every year, because it takes so much time and effort to build all of the tools that you need as part of a single working stack. If that stack has been tested and it's been tested and issues have been fixed on that particular hardware before the facility starts installing it, many of the problems that they would have run into have already been fixed. So it really speeds up time to deployment. And we're targeting quarterly deployment now for the E4S software stack at each of the facilities. So that's been a huge speed up for us at the facilities. That also means that software developers get feedback immediately about issues that they may have introduced into the code. You know, software developers love having code that's stable and that runs successfully and that is good quality code, but they don't always have access to all of the platforms that their code will run on. So providing that to them is really important. And then finally, scientific software users, the scientists themselves, benefit from, I mean, having the latest and greatest features, right? New ways of speeding up their I/O, new debugging tools, you know, new visualization tools that they don't have to wait up to a year, right, to kind of get the latest and greatest. They can get the newest things or build it themselves because these recipes are easy to build.
Is the continuous integration effort in ECP something new to the HPC community? And why is this such an important function to the HPC community?
It's a great question. So I would say yes and no to the is it new. It's been a best practice in the software development landscape for decades, right? You want to test your code before it gets rolled out into production. But if you look at scientific or really just software stacks, you know, that are out there, we can take Red Hat, for instance. You know, they provide a version of Linux and a bunch of extra libraries and tools that they package up and deliver it kind of as a common, you know, one-stop shop, easy to use software collection. They can go and sort of with broad strokes define how they want to test because they kind of own all of that functionality. And in an HPC software stack, multiple project teams sort of own their own CI infrastructure, right? So your compilers may have different testing strategies than your debuggers, which may have different testing strategies than your I/O libraries. And they've all developed those over time to meet their own project team needs. So what we're doing with this ecosystem is we are providing a common kind of first step base layer of CI smoke testing that we can run at the facilities and in the cloud to apply to really the ECP's E4S software portfolio. And that, to my knowledge, has never been done before for this community.
Ryan, tell us how the continuous aspect of continuous integration helps avoid stale software.
Absolutely. So what we've seen in the past is software that sticks around for a long time at facilities becomes stale, right? It's if a new stack hasn't been installed in a year, that you know, code is the only code that can be used by you know, new users that are coming in to the facility. If we are testing and deploying more frequently, you know, scientists will use the fresher software in some sense, right? Just because it's easier. And if scientists can hook into our continuous integration framework and know that newer versions of libraries that we've installed don't impact their, you know, scientific results or performance, they're also more likely to want to move forward and use new libraries and the features that they provide.
The automated ECP framework for continuous integration of the extreme scale scientific software stack E4S of multiple DOE sites is new. What are some of the many pieces of this process?
Yeah, that's a great question. So E4S is really the culmination of this broader ecosystem that we've been talking about. I don't know where to start. It's such a big effort, right? So there is sort of like this ability to define what it means to be a member of E4S. So if you are a software team and you want to become a part of this ecosystem, you know, there are community practices and standards. Like you know, the team has a build recipe that they put into spec. They have, you know, smoke test recipes that they put into spec. You know, they document their code in a certain way. They make sure they adhere to certain, you know, community guidelines and standards. And so that's how you gain entrance into this ecosystem as a development team, right? And then once you're there, right, the facilities and other, you know, there are other test harnesses that run in Amazon, et cetera, for other, you know, uses of E4S, sort of take all of that material and those build recipes and test recipes and you know, we do our thing. We test them, we build them, and then we get the results back to the developers for like through a dashboard so that they can understand what's broken and that they can fix it.
Please describe for us the build, test, and verify runs involved in continuous integration.
Yeah, so this is a great question as well. These are great questions. So SPAC is where we're standardizing this work, right? If you want, you know, your stuff to be smoke tested at facilities, you make sure you put your build and test recipes into SPAC. There are 500 plus commits to SPAC per month. Okay. And each of these commits to SPAC could potentially trigger one of our build or test pipelines. Usually it would, right? If we're going to do a test on merge, right? And each of these pipeline runs can spawn up to 100 GitLab jobs because there are different, you know, pieces of the software, I guess, iceberg that you need to build, right? And so that adds up to a large number of software products that need to be built on these facilities. So the scale is huge. Yeah. On the plus side, you know, HPC teams are in the business of scaling. So we understand what the limits are of our systems and how to turn the dial to get the most out of the tests that are written. And so what we find is there's a trade-off between, you know, performance testing and smoke testing. And we really want to exercise the set of cardinal tests that give us the most value per test so that we don't overload these HPC resources, which at the end of the day are available for open science, right? They're scientific instruments. They're not dev build farms. So we want to be sensitive to the scientists that are on these systems, but we want to deliver them value through sane tests.
ECP's continuous integration has a cohesive support model to correct software issues. This enables developers to receive immediate feedback so they can prevent errors from propagating throughout the source tree and becoming entrenched in stable releases. What's the strategy involved in this cohesive support model?
That's right. So the support model is a loop. It's a cycle, right? So you have features that developers develop. Those get generally tested by them in their build farms or locally on their systems. And then when they're, you know, ready to be rolled into SPAC, you know, we pick those up at the facilities and run their smoke tests. And when we see issues, we want to be able to tighten the loop and, you know, automatically throw those build errors back onto, you know, their it's a merge request is what the developers doing. Developers are doing into SPAC. And so the tighter that loop can be, the more quickly developers can fix the issues. You know, it's obvious what caused this, what change to their code caused this new build error or you know, functionality error to pop up. And so tightening the loop is the most important piece of that cycle.
What are the benefits to developers and systems teams of having tested and verified software to start with rather than an ad hoc situation of working around stale software?
Absolutely. So complexity is one of the worst things that you can have when you're designing a system, right? Sometimes it's necessary, but complexity just absolutely kills. And so by identifying common interfaces and identifying clean procedures for taking, you know, new features, putting, you know, those into SPAC, taking, you know, the new SPAC sort of tests and running them at facilities and then you know, taking that and giving it back to developers. By identifying a clean, consistent way of doing that, we're reducing complexity of that cycle. Ultimately, that means that the code that is delivered has been tested with, you know, the libraries have been tested with themselves. They've been tested on the hardware that they're going to be installed on. And there are just fewer gotchas because we're reducing complexity.
Ryan, why do you think continuous integration is the path for the future of high-performance computing, academic, enterprise, and commercial cloud users?
Good question. CI is a way to automate a lot of the manual work that we've had to do in the past. It just isn't going to go away because it's an industry best practice. And, you know, when new engineers and scientists are graduating and they're coming out into the field of computer science, they already have experience with version control and continuous integration. So it's embedded in developer culture at this point. It's not going to go away. One of our tasks moving forward is to make sure that we can sustain this ecosystem and sustain the testing capabilities that we have at the individual laboratories. We've built something that's awesome, but it really took a large project like ECP for us, individually to rally around to get a common testing framework in place. So we're in discussions. What do we do? How do we support this testing ecosystem after ECP is over? But it's pretty clear that it's got widespread adoption. SPAC existed before ECP. It'll exist after ECP is over. They do builds and tests in the cloud. That's going to exist after ECP is over. It's the future. It reduces complexity, and I just can't see us going back to the way things were.
Ryan, to close, how about giving us a snapshot of the current activities in ECP software deployment at facilities efforts?
Yeah. So over the last year, we've focused on a couple of different use cases to, again, help reduce the complexity of our mission, right? So the first is providing a stable continuous integration platform using GitLab at each of the facilities where these ECP systems are going to be available to ECP users. The second, and so that's done, that is available, people can take advantage of that. The second focus that we've had is in getting the E4S software stack, the deployment of that more automated, and the testing and the builds sort of like running on our commodity hardware, like our last generation of systems. So this is Cori and Summit and Theta at the ALCF. What we're pivoting towards this next quarter, next 6 months, is allowing facilities to add their own flavor to tests. So facilities make changes as well to the software stack that vendors provide. They might roll versions of kernels, they might update versions of the operating system, which might cause a software stack to fail. And so we need to integrate that into this testing ecosystem, and that will be sort of what we look forward to in the next 3 to 6 months.
Ryan Adamson, thank you. Very insightful stuff.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Join us next time as we hear more from the people who are bringing a capable and sustainable exascale computing ecosystem to fruition. From the Exascale Computing Project, this is Let's Talk Exascale.